Fall is here and we could all use a stiff breeze. That's right. This episode is brought to you by Blue Chew. Guys, confidence can take you far in life, but let Blue Chew take you the rest of the way. BlueChew.com and the code TMS. Coming up on TMS, are you okay if I do both holes at once?
Horking up a Loki.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a controversy.
Full service European spa.
Broken nose Jim Jam.
Snipping the old trunk.
The Utah pizzazz.
Hello, friends. It's Seinfeld. Cheers.
Milking the teat of God.
I press X to doubt.
There's no loafing at the Sourdough Hotel.
Complex hairy one.
Baldwin. More like heroin, am I right?
Live from a moon tower, it's Justin Robert Young and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The homes of tomorrow. In the modern homes of tomorrow, design is almost as important as function. From the tangly table to the nearly unsittable chair.
This is my very first Cruella de Vil doll, and I am so lucky to have her.
Greetings, Earth Lady. May I interest you in some guacamole? This is the Morning Stream.
Good morning and welcome to TMS, everyone. It's Tuesday, October 12th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson, and that's Brian Ibbett.
Hi, Scott Johnson, and hi, listener. You, right there, just you, listener.
Each and every one of you, you're special in your own way.
Secret to podcasting right here. Pretend you're just talking to one listener. Yeah. Hey, listener. Hey.
Yeah, this is good advice. Yeah.
Are you warm? Yeah. You warm? You know, do you need a blanket?
Yeah. You need some soup? A little bit of soup.
Are you hungry?
Yeah. Yeah, are you? We know how to talk to our people.
That's right.
Welcome back, everyone. It's good to have you here. We're excited to bring you a Tuesday episode of the show. I slept like garbage, so if I seem a little slow today, like a little logy, not logy.
Not Loki.
Logy is the word.
Logy. Yeah. Logy is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, but didn't we hork up logies in the 80s too?
You're up all night to get logy.
Oh, those were loogies. No, I mean, really, I mixed it up.
Oh, did you really?
I wasn't kidding.
I thought that was a dad joke.
No, I was like, wait a minute. Did we used to hork up logies? No, we
horked up loogies.
Yeah, it was loogies. Put an extra O in
it. I liked it also. You know, we kind of made up the word loogie, and we made up the word hork to define the process of, you know, doing that.
We're the greatest. We're the greatest generation. No one ever says it, but we are.
Exactly. We really are.
Don't forget it.
We're smart.
Yeah, when we die, what's this world going to do? What a cultural mess it's going to be when we live.
That's right, exactly.
Anyway, I'm dying to know how your nose waxing went. Can we get an update? How'd that go?
All right, so I walk into the place, answer a couple questions and, you know, just basic stuff. Any allergies or any, are you taking any medications? I think they're kind of wanting to make sure that if there's blood, I'm not mainlining Bayer aspirin to make sure the clot's up.
Oh, right.
Nothing. But I'm walked into the into one of the little rooms, little doctor's office rooms. It's a nice little spa, a European waxing spa center or something like that here in Arvada. Opened up.
What makes it European? What do they do that's you know?
I don't know, because last I checked, Brazil was in South America. So Brazilian, not quite European. I think it's just a European style.
Okay.
Spa.
All right. Still curious what that would actually mean. Like, do they have?
Yeah, I'm curious about that too. I'm sure somebody out there knows what's so special about European waxing.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, they may have invented a lot of this stuff, so maybe it's just a.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they're the waxing pros.
Yeah.
So I'm ushered into the back by Sophia, a lovely young woman who I'm guessing is. A year out of beautician school, or out of the place where they're trained to do this sort of thing.
Sure, very very European sounding name as well. Sophia.
Yes. Yeah. She She's from here. We had plenty of time to talk. So she's actually a Colorado native. Nothing European about that.
That's a shame. Yeah.
The room has a bed, like a doctor's office bed, with the roll of butcher paper that can just tear off and pull up a new butcher paper. And I thought, all right, well, do you just need me to sit here? She's like, oh, I'm actually going to have you lie down and put your head on the pillow area in the back. I'm like, all right, cool.
A full service European spa, turns out, is what
full service European spa.
Yeah.
Wow. So she's heating things up. Have you ever had this done before? I'm like, no. And I said, I hear it doesn't hurt as much as you'd expect it would, because it's not like plucking a single nose hair. It's, you know, for whatever reason, it doesn't hurt when you do them all. She's like, yeah, it's true. It's more like a like the shock, but there's no residual pain.
That's true. I've done this before, not in a good clinical place like that. Like, I had a friend do it.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah.
I shouldn't say friend. Kim's sister, Sarah, she's also a friend, I suppose. She did it, and the first nostril didn't go well, just about pulled my brain out. Because she didn't get it all. She, like, didn't yank hard enough, or I don't know what the deal was. Hadn't dried enough, I don't know. But then the other nostril went fine. I've never done it since, though. But you're right, there's this moment of, like, ah! But...
Yeah.
Then you're done. It's fine after that.
Yeah.
No big deal. Oof. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. And I'll tell you some horror stories that she told me after in a second here.
All right.
So she says, all right, well, let's go ahead and get started. Are you okay if we do both nostrils at once? Or, you know, do you feel claustrophobic? And I think she obviously just meant putting wax in both, but pulling each one individually, like pulling both simultaneously, feel like it would just rip the nose right off of my face.
Yeah. Nobody wants a twofer. Don't ask for
Nobody wants a twofer.
Yeah.
So yeah, totally fine with that. So she puts the wax in the first nostril and lets it solidify in there. And she keeps coming over and kind of like pushing the sides of my nose just to make sure that the entire nostril is getting the wax. She's like, yeah, you know, you know, people trying to do this stuff at home. There's horror stories I've seen online about them pulling and they just pull the stick out. They pull too early and the stick comes out of the wax. And now they've got this big ball of wax in their nose and no way to quickly pull it out. It's just got to be like broken up and pulled out individually. And
I've seen TikTok videos where both nostrils end up with wax still in them and the guy just struggling to get them out of there. And they ended up, I mean, you basically have to kind of perform tweezer surgery on yourself for an hour. It's horrible.
An hour of constant nose hair pulling just to get all that wax out. It's horrible.
Horrendous. That's not what you signed up for. So good. You're in a place that knows what they're doing. That's important.
They know what they're doing. Right. So first one solidifies and she comes over and holds my nose steady and then just goes yank. And all right, there's no residual pain.
Yeah.
But to say that it's completely pain-free is kind of misleading. But it's not like, you know, like if you pinch yourself or you get a burn or you poke yourself with a needle, you've got lung residual pain.
Sure.
With this, it was instant and it's gone.
Yeah. Weird, and, right? It's weird that's even true. It's weird.
It's really weird. It's like the only place I can ever think of experiencing that was with this. It's just like, bam, and that's it. And it's not a lot of pain. It's more like, it's like the amount of pain from maybe a mild slap.
Yeah. But one that
not
hits
a,
you.
Not
one,
a hard slap, but like a...
Just like a little whack,
like
right?
That kind of slap.
But it's it's like one from a stranger in a busy mall, and you didn't expect it. That's what makes it weird.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But then they run away, and there's no residual. Like, I still feel where I just slapped myself in the face, even though that was a mild slap.
Mild Coffee in the chat calls it the wasabi of pain. I think that's actually pretty good.
It's really good. Yeah. Yeah, because it's like wasabi heat doesn't last a super long time. It's pretty quick.
Yeah, I agree. That's good.
It also cleans out your sinuses.
Yeah,
just like this.
Dual use.
So I'm like, all right, well, you know what? That wasn't so bad. It's actually, you know, not bad at all. She did the other nostril and then she went back and did each nostril a second time.
Oh,
Just cause you know, sometimes you got stumps or, so you didn't get them all or whatever. So she went in there twice. I've been cultivating for a long time. Look, I use a nose hair trimmer. I've used one for 40 years or 35 years or however long, I've been having to do this thing.
Yeah.
And I have to go in there and hit it weekly, sometimes even maybe a couple times a week, mm-hmm. three times every 2 weeks or something. And I'm just tired of it. And for $15 to not have to worry about it for a month or so, worth it to me.
Is the stereotype true that if you're bald, hair grows wackadoo in other places? Like it grows more than it's supposed to or should or faster or whatever, like ear hair, nose hair, that kind of stuff?
I have no idea because I don't know what...
It seems like people say that, but I don't know if that's true.
The hair's got to go somewhere, and it can't come out the head, so it's got to
right.
It's got to come out somewhere.
I don't know if it works that way or not.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't feel like, I'm certainly not a Baldwin in the chest hair department.
No.
My
who is
eyebrows or ear hair or anything like that aren't excessive. I don't know.
Those guys are more hair than man, those guys.
Yeah. The bald ones are more hair than men.
They should be called the hair ones. Anyway.
So, all in all, good experience. Oh, and so I walk out of there and I'm getting my wallet out to pay for it. And she's like, well, you know, this is your first time here and your first visit is free. And if you want to sign up for a regular visit, you certainly can. We'll schedule for 4 weeks out and you can just come in. And if you do that service, then you can buy 15 visits for the price of 9 or something like that. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Back in when my nose is out of control. Yeah. I looked at like how much I'd save. It's like, that's not worth it enough to me to prepay for 15 visits.
No. That's how they try to get you.
I understand. Yeah.
It's not for me.
Listen, they have to do the same spiel. I'm sure for ladies getting the old Brazilian, getting the landing strip done, who are off on their way to Saint-Tropez to, you know, naked sunbathe on the sand, they probably do need to come in a little bit more often. But for old Schnoz here, not a problem.
Yeah.
I did tip Sophie. I tipped her $5.
Oh, that's a pretty good tip.
And it's funny, so. She said, well, your first visit's free. I'm like, well, I'd like to leave Sophie a tip. And she says, oh, okay, just put it here. And she points to like a little wooden desk, a desk thing, like you'd get at Office Max, like a little wooden thing. It's got pens sticking out of the top of it. I'm like, oh, okay, it's weird. So I can't just hand you the money, you hand it to her. I'm guessing you have to sanitize it or something. That's weird. All right, that's fine. So I set the $5 bill on the thing. And then, you know, I answer the questions about the, buying the multi-pass, the Lilu Dallas nose hair multi-pass.
Yeah.
And she's, okay, I guess that's it. Well, did you want a tip, Sophie? And I said, oh, I did. I put the $5 right here. She's like, oh, and she reaches around and grabs it and then grabs the paper envelopes that apparently she was pointing to that are sitting on this desk.
Oh, well, why would you know that? Why would you know that? Because
they weren't even facing me. They looked like it looked like white Post-its. The front of the envelope was facing me instead of the telltale flap side of the envelope.
Hmm. Yeah, you'd never know. Why, who's supposed to know that? Nobody knows.
Who's
that?
Supposed to know that? So
what's your take on the whole nose hair removal is bad because it's good for filtration. And like during COVID time, it's a better way to filtrate air and whatever, it's your natural filtration system.
I think I agree with that. I think that that you do need nose hairs, and when they do the waxing, they're really only going about maybe a quarter of an inch, half an inch up in there.
Oh.
And I still listen, believe me, the forest is still strong. The Muir woods are still growing up north, yeah. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Just the parking lot's been cleared.
Well, sounds all right to me. Look at Brian. He's a clinic or a, what do you call it? You're not a regular in the sense that you prepaid for anything, but you know, look at you right. Getting yourself a little self-care, a little nasal self-care.
A little man, what do they call that?
Manscaping.
Grooming? Manscaping. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, or grooming,
a little manscaping.
Sure. Yeah, now Tina doesn't have to go, what's in your nose?
Brian, you might want to go use the Norelco tomorrow. We're going to go see my parents. Do you mind maybe giving the nose a trim? She's really never said that.
No, but it's my favorite. It's my favorite new scenario where she talks that way. That's amazing.
But I'll be honest. Listen, you know, full disclosure here. I'll be vulnerable here for the fine folks listening. The fine folk, that one person listening that I'm talking to.
Yeah, yeah. The individual.
Sometimes when I'm out and about, and I blow my nose,
yeah,
and I wipe and stuff, and I don't have a mirror to look into or anything like that. Maybe there's a little tiny something on the end of a friggin' nose hair that's sticking out of the second floor window,
yeah,
looking like it's gonna jump.
Yeah.
And and that's the vanity reason that I got this thing done. Did I ever tell you about the I think I did. I think I told you about when I went to First Watch for breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
This place out here.
You talked about...
And I walk out of there and I'm... Yeah. And I had no idea that these two beautiful young women at the front counter were laughing and smiling at me because I had a big bug hanging out of my nose instead of...
Oh, you had a bug hanging. Nobody wants a bug hanging. Nobody.
Bug hanging, so...
I mean, we're human beings. Exactly. We have bugs hanging, but we don't like it. We don't like to do it.
Exactly. Hey, something else that's gotten removed, getting removed today.
Oh, Brian, you've decided to
Can I tell you how excited I am about this, Scott?
You're getting the snip snip, or you already had the snip snip. What are you getting
I already had the snip snip years ago, 24 years ago.
Yeah.
the tree. The tree that has been the bane of our existence.
Oh,
the tree
out.
That was Woo! The source. Well, it's coming out today.
Oh, okay.
The tree that was the source of too much hassle with the Russian neighbors. The tree that hangs over our side and dumps all its crappy ass cottonwood leaves all over our yard and none on the neighbors.
Yeah.
And looks dangerous every time it's loaded with snow dangling precariously over our roof. It's coming out today. They had two trees along our fence. They removed the back one yesterday, and then the main one, the big problem, the one that reaches underground with its roots and strangles our sprinkler system and requires hundreds of dollars and hours worth of work, is finally coming out.
Do you do you think the Russians know? Do you think they're aware that this finally?
No,
happened?
I don't think they do, because these people bought the house. The people before. The people that are in there currently were renting the house, and they couldn't do anything about the tree. But now the Russians are not involved. Maybe they'll drive by someday, nostalgia, and come see, and like, oh, tree is gone.
Where
oh,
is tree? You know, we not see tree. Where is it? Where is this
in
tree?
Russia, tree remove you. But,
that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Well done.
So the too much hassle tree finally coming down.
That's a long time to wait for a tree to...
It is.
To go.
It is.
You know, I think you guys have been pretty patient. Well done.
It's a friggin' monster.
A couple of quick emails.
Yeah.
That I wanted to get through this morning before we get to our news. And one of them is from T-Glass, which is a great rapper name.
T-Glass. Yeah.
Yeah. T-Glass. Tell us what's going on, T-Glass. Yo, yo, yo. T-Glass here. I can't do T-Glass. Anyway.
Not to be confused with iced tea glass.
Yeah, exactly. He says, old outrage is new again, and I agree with him.
Okay.
He says, dear Snowpiercer and Bullet Train. I don't know the references there other than the S and the B, but Snowpiercer.
Yeah, I mean, Snowpiercer is they're just two famous, or two trains.
Okay. I love Snowpiercer, is that movie.
I do too.
Yeah, the director of
TV
Parasite.
The show's okay.
Yeah, the director of Parasite made it, so I probably should
That's right.
That. Yeah.
You probably should.
Anyway, it says, funny how people are making a big deal of the Seinfeld being cropped. We talked about it yesterday. Seinfeld first appeared on streaming platforms with Hulu, and it was the cropped widescreen version then. Here is a 6-year-old Reddit thread about it. Wow. Internet's got an outrage, I guess. Signed, T-Glass. Yeah, so the whole thing with the Seinfeld thing is not even a new thing. And I thought it was 4-3 over there, but it wasn't. It was 16.9, and he's
at
right.
Hulu, so they already did the conversion at Hulu.
Yeah.
Funny. Yeah, I didn't remember it either. And yeah, sure enough, there's some angry. Why is there an NSFW better example from TBS? Why is this?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, it's because the. It's when what's her face is coming out of the pool, and I think she's.
Nude.
Topless?
She's nude.
She's nude. Well, she's topless.
Well,
there was a topless woman on Seinfeld. Look at that.
What? Really? Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that. Oh, I do too. The one from the pool, or the one where
the shrinkage episode.
Shrinkage episode. Yeah. It's just her back, though, right?
Well, in the 4:3 version, it's just her back. In the 16:9 version,
yeah.
you get
side boob.
Hard to see nipple, but lots of side boob.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're looking. You want me? Here's a link.
Yeah. Send us. Oh, you put it in the chat here. I see it.
I put it in the chat, but I'll put it in here as well.
Let's take a look here. I'm not putting it on screen, chat. Don't get excited.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh, geez. So you go 16.9, you get the full breastage.
You do, yeah. You can't really see, you know, it's a motion blur, but
she's probably wearing pasty cap things or whatever.
I'm sure there's something, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't like the look on Michael Richards' face. I think he's looking a little skeevy there. Something going on.
He looks nonplussed, like non-affected by the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, that's
interesting. Whereas Elaine and Jerry are both like...
Now,
they practice their reaction shots.
12-year-old me would be thrilled about this discovery. Right, exactly. I'd be losing my mind, going, where can we find a print of this? Holy crap, pause it, everybody. Look at what I can see.
Right, exactly.
But now... It's not that shocking.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that, T. Glass. You're great. Your new album's awesome. Good job. Super controversial, but I really like your hip hop stylings. It's great, T. Glass. Keep those emails coming. We appreciate it.
Sure.
Andy wrote in and says, "Okay, I'm going to do it in Andy's voice. He's in Canada, so first of all, this is for him.
Canada.
All right, that's for him." And then I'm going to pull this way away from me over here.
Yeah, good call.
And I'm going to say it in the way he's written it. Here we go. Lake Louise is in Alberta, not British Columbia. I'm yelling. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Love the show, though. I'm angry. I'm Canadian. Sorry again for all the yelling. There.
Okay, good.
We cleared it up, though. If anyone was confused, I guess whatever that is, or whatever that lake is, it's in Alberta. So.
Yeah, it's just west of Calgary.
Yeah,
I think it was because it was in the British Columbia News is the problem.
Yeah,
that was misleading. Look, yeah. It is right on the friggin' border. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
It is. The border goes right next to it. So
it's almost like it's part of the border. Part of the lake is part of the border. Kind of ish.
Kind of. Yeah.
I mean, it feels like the border might be different.
Hard to tell on Google Maps. The border goes over the mountain, Mount Aberdeen.
Mount Aberdeen.
Mount Aberdeen.
Excellent. So there you go. Angry Canadian. Well done, Andy. We appreciate you letting us know.
Yeah, sorry, Andy. Sorry, Andy.
We're really sorry about everything.
Getting that wrong, but...
We feel really bad, truly.
Sorry.
Sunglow wrote... Sunglow wrote in talking about the whole Smokies thing, like when people called police Smokey.
Yeah.
Like Smokey and the Bandit and all that. He says, "Dear Smokey and the Bandit, a Smokey wears a Smokey Bear hat. Most CB nicknames for police and their vehicles are visual puns. Love the show, though. Sunglow."
Sure. I mean, like the gumball machine is the thing on top, the siren lights and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I thought Smokey Bear wears a ranger hat.
Isn't it a flat hat with like two tassels?
Yeah. It's like a squished Pharrell Williams hat.
Yeah.
It's a squished Arby's
hat. Oh, you know what? Yeah, it is like, it's like a Mountie hat is what it is.
Like a Mountie hat. Yeah.
Speaking of the Canadians.
Canada.
Here, look right here. This is a Smokey hat chat room. Do you guys see that? And there's some that even have Smokey the Bear written on it. It's got a little neck deal. Okay. So cops in certain places out in rural places wear these kind of hats, I guess. Or they did.
Right. Right.
I don't know if they would now, though. Because you're right. They are Pharrell Williams hats. Because I'm happy. Yeah.
Just a smaller version of it.
Happy, happy, or whatever song. What's that song? Happy, right?
Happy. Happy.
Is it just called Happy?
Happy.
What happened to Pharrell?
Happy.
He was having a moment. What happened to his... Where is he now? What's going on with him, Pharrell?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening with him. Somebody, by the way, somebody in the chat room quoted Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. TVZ Gon mentioned Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear.
Yeah.
I learned, because that was a New York Times crossword clue last week, that there's controversy about Fuzzy Wuzzy. It's a very racist thing. Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. I had no idea.
I still don't know.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a racist term for the natives of East Africa.
A Fuzzy Wuzzy? Like the full term?
Yes, exactly. And it came from British... British troops, British military.
Oh, it sounds British now that you say that.
Fuzzy Wuzzy.
I seen a Fuzzy Wuzzy coming to the camp or whatever.
Really? How is this? I never knew this was a, like, until last week. I'd never heard anything bad about Fuzzy Wuzzy.
Well, Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair.
Yeah.
Fuzzy Wuzzy didn't care. Fuzzy Wuzzy.
Okay, so Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. It translates to the Eastern African people were giving the British Army trouble. It's like, was a bear, as opposed to, oh man, yard work was a bear.
Okay, that Russian tree removal was a bear, like that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair. Formula explaining why the Fuzzy Wuzzies did so well was a clean square root relationship, not a complex hairy one. The strength of the forces scaled only linearly with the firepower of the British troops, with the square of the numerically superior Fuzzy Wuzzy troops.
There's a title in Complex Hairy One. I don't know where or how it is worded, but someone do Complex Hairy One. There's a title in there.
Complex Hairy One. Yeah. Yes.
All right. I had no idea either.
So everybody quit singing the Fuzzy Wuzzy song to your kids, because apparently now that's racist.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair. Okay.
Fuzzy Wuzzy wasn't Fuzzy, was he?
That's a shitty thing.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I hate learning that you know, things like that that we all just took as like an innocent little thing have racist roots. Long time no see has been the hardest one for me to quit using, because I'll see somebody and I'll want to say, oh man, long time no see.
Yeah.
Or I'll text or something like that. And you can't use that.
How about that itsy bitsy spider business? Is that racist?
So far so good. I think we're good on the itsy.
Okay. How about so far so good? Oh. How about that phrase?
I don't know. You know, now that I say that, I wonder if that's
it's a reference to Jamie Farr, and he's got some Arabic heritage. I have no idea.
Burgess Diesel says, you got this in the New York Times crossword? Yeah, I am. Like the clue is something like nursery rhyme or rhyming animal from a children's rhyme or something like that.
Yeah.
And the answer was Fuzzy Wuzzy. But in the comments of the New York Times, because sometimes when I'm struggling with a clue, I'll go look at the comments, and sometimes people will inadvertently give a hint. Mm-hmm. And they said, I can't believe you'd include that racist clue in your crossword. I'm done subscribed, sir.
Wow. That's a rage quit. A highfalutin rage quit is what that is.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I feel like I learned something that I didn't want to learn, but I did.
I know. I learned it. Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes you got to learn things you don't want to learn. All right?
It's true. Yep.
That's just the damn truth. Now the news. Yeah. It's time for the news. It's brought to you by...
Brought to you by a change in plans. Hey, look, everybody. Boop got pushed to today at 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Make sure, if you missed it yesterday, don't worry. You still have a chance to hear it. Today, 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Derp.
Yeah. Maybe yesterday you were like, oh, I forgot. And then now I'm telling you, you still have a chance, is what I'm saying. Today at 3:30. Okay? Me, Dunaway, making it. It's happening. Watch for it. Catch it. This fall on NBC. All right, moving on. We got a story here about a missing drunk man.
Okay.
Spent hours helping a search party look for himself. I want to thank William for this story. He sent this in via email. Thank you, William. themorningstream@gmail.com. Anyway, the missing man in Turkey. This is in Turkey. Apparently, people in Turkey know how to party, because, whoo, listen where this went.
All right.
Missing man in Turkey accidentally joined his own search party and looked for himself for hours before he realized he was the target of the rescue. According to local media reports, Behan Mutlu.
He's apparently a really useful guy. If it takes him hours after helping search for somebody to finally ask the question, by the way, who are we searching for?
Yeah, yeah. Who are we?
Yeah.
It's almost like a movie, you know?
It totally
like
is.
Like some drunk guy, like, I don't know who would do it. I picture different actors, but I see him just going, oh, this is great. We're going to find him, aren't we? Who are we looking for again? So-and-so. Oh, that's me. Like, I can just see this movie play out.
I'm picturing Dudley Moore.
Yeah.
Who are we looking for again?
That's not bad. I've never heard you do a Dudley Moore. That's not
my
bad.
My first ever Dudley Moore, everybody.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Oh, yeah, you can see Bill Murray doing it, sure.
This kind of movie would not play well today.
Biocow's right. Bill Murray'd fit. That'd be a good one.
There you go.
Yep. It's like Waldo looking for himself. That'd be funny. Well, anyway, according to these reports, 50-year-old man from the rural region of Turkey was out drinking with friends when he wandered off into a nearby forest and didn't return. Worried about him, his friends alerted authorities, who set up a search party and rescue mission to find him. According to the Turkish channel NTV, not M.
NTV.
We don't do music at all. Music television. When news of the missing man got out, efforts to find him intensified in nearby neighborhoods. Let's see. With a large group of volunteers joining the mission, a search party was calling for Mutu's name for hours. Then suddenly a man within the group spoke up and reportedly said, "Who are you looking for? I am here." He says, it is unclear how he found himself in his own search party or how his friends didn't realize he was right under their nose the whole time. Police were able to safely escort him to his home. I think everybody was drunk is what I think that means. What do you think?
I think so. Yeah, I think there's more of a problem here than just the guy who was quote unquote missing. Yep. It's the friends who are like, go look over behind that tree, Bill. Bill, yeah. Bill. Yeah.
Rainbow Bright to
Moltu. Moltu.
Moltu.
Moltu.
Where are you?
Or Mutlu. Mutlu.
Rainbow Bright in the chat makes a good reference to Film Sack this last weekend. Says, makes me think of Hatchet, the movie Hatchet we just watched. Yes. With those friends who didn't go on the swamp tour. That's right. They still partied, man. Yeah.
They did. It's like, I guess our friends aren't coming back. Anyway, let's go look at more boobs.
Did we call them the chicks in the bucket or no? I don't remember.
I think Randy corrected you calling them the real chicks in the bucket. You had somebody else as the chick in the bucket.
Oh, I did the guy drinking his own pee, I think.
Yes, yeah. Yes, Jack Cracker.
But I guess he makes a whole thing in the sequel, so.
Yeah, apparently he does. Yeah. Jack Cracker apparently becomes very important, as does Reverend Zombie.
Yeah, Reverend Zombie. Oh, man. That reminds me, I got
to
watch Midnight
Mass. I do want to watch the first 10 minutes of Hatchet 2 just to see, since it picks up right where the other one left off.
I kind of want to watch the first couple of minutes of that, the last few minutes of it, and then the first few minutes of 3.
You just want to, like, just watch the frosting, really. Yeah. Like, all right, how's the movie begin? All right, how does it end? Okay, yeah, how's the next movie begin?
Because the whole thing with that series is that they just keep stacking on top of each other, and I want to see how they do it. But I don't know if I can sit through, you know, two more Hatchet movies. I don't think I could do it.
I know. It's the most egregious use of, hey, I've got 11 ideas for really funny, unusual ways to kill people.
Yeah.
How can we string them all together into a movie?
Yeah, that's basically it. Well, all right. Let's see what else we got here. We got a story in Sweden. This is interesting.
Sweden.
Oh, that reminds me. I'm thinking of, I don't know why this reminds me of it. Everything in Sweden reminds me of Wes Anderson. But have you seen the latest final trailer for that French Dispatch business? Did every actor in Hollywood sign up for that? Is that what happened?
Well, yeah, it seemed like that was in the trailer I saw a few months ago, when it's just like a never-ending list of Kate Blanchett, Tilda Swinton, Timothy Chalamet,
everyone's
Johnny Depp,
yeah.
Edward Norton,
everyone's
Melissa
in
Joan
it.
Hart,
all people.
Amy Mann,
yeah.
Jeff Bezos.
All people are in it.
All Jeff people Bezos. Are in it.
There's a really great, it's fake, but there's a really great image going around of Shatner sitting with his fellow astronauts for his ship. Yes. And he's in the gold thing and the rest are in red shirts. The crew is
very concerned about the new mission uniforms for.
My favorite thing is that some people don't understand that that's the entire joke of the image. And so they replied to me going, "Oh, I think red shirts are a bad idea. They shouldn't wear those." I'm like,
"Really?"
Like, yeah, that's
great.
Entire,
yeah,
that's
you're,
entire joke.
You're not getting it. Yeah.
That's the whole thing there, buddy.
Oh, that movie comes out the same day as Dune, says Free Rangers. Is that one going to be theater only?
I bet it is, because it's Universal, right? I think. Or maybe Sony.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, the only ones that'll be day and date, I guess, are just Warner Brothers at this point.
Yeah.
And,
Yep, in select theaters October 22nd. Okay. Well, I'm going to the theater to watch that. I'm excited about that.
I am too. I love Wes Anderson, man.
Cavalcade of Stars.
Everyone's in it, including Broken Nose Jim Jam. What's his name?
Owen Wilson?
No, the other Broken Nose. He's in it too, but...
Adrian Brody?
Adrian Brody. I saw Adrian Brody's face in there.
Does he have a broken nose or just a ginormous one?
I think it's busted. Isn't it all sideways and busted?
I mean, you got to bump that thing into everything. You like you try and go through a doorway and that hits the side. And
let's see. What if there's a nose about it? Oh,
Saoirse Ronan is in this too. Elizabeth Moss, Jeffrey Wright.
Everyone.
That's funny. When Jeffrey Wright was in No Time to Die, because Felix Leiter, of course, is in there. I said, hey, it's the Watcher.
I like that he's the Watcher and he's going to be Commissioner Gordon in the Batman movie. I love that. That guy's great. Yeah. Yeah. All right. What happened to Adrian Brody's nose? Oh, can you tell me if Jeffrey Wright's in the new James Bond thing? Or did his character die in a previous one? I don't remember.
I just told you. He's in there, yes.
Oh, you just said he was in there?
When he came on screen, I'm thinking, ooh, that's the Watcher.
Oh, shit. Hold on.
I said, oh, look, there's a red on air light.
I'm putting it up. Hold on. There you go, chat. Red on air light. You guys see it? I was too busy looking up Brody's nose. All right, found it. What happened to Adrian Brody's nose? In 1992, Adrian Brody was seriously hurt in a motorcycle accident in which he flew over a car and crashed headfirst into a sidewalk. He spent months recuperating. He has a broken nose three times. Oh, no, I'm sorry. And he has broken his nose three times doing stunts. The most recent was during filming of a movie called Summer of Sam. Mm. So
he has broken. Maybe it was really small to begin with, and it just kept growing. Like, every time he broke it, it, like... healed funny and had new cartilage and stuff.
Yeah, Adrian Brody. Hey,
let's play a game. Yeah. Are they in French Dispatch or not?
Oh, that's a great game.
All right, okay.
Go.
Let's start with something easy. Jason Schwartzman.
Yes.
Yes, he is in French Dispatch.
All right.
Colin Firth.
Yes.
He is not.
Oh, shit.
And, French Dispatch.
I played my own ding without checking with the judges.
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway. No.
Correct. She is not in French Dispatch.
All right, good. Who else?
Henry Winkler.
Oh, my gosh. That seems so weird that it might be true. I'm going to say yes because I want it to be.
That is correct. He is in there.
Oh, yes. What? Awesome.
Nick Jonas.
No.
That is correct. No, okay. Nick Jonas.
Okay, good. I mean, whoops. I gotta play the ding. Not the buzz.
Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet. Draw me like your French girls. I'm gonna say yes.
Yes, she's in. Okay. She's in the movie.
All right.
Fisher Stevens from Short Circuit.
I'm going to say, again, I'm a little hopeful here. I'll say yes.
Yes, he is.
What?
Amelia Clark.
No.
That is correct. You're good at this game.
I'm pretty good at this game. What else you got? Keep going.
Let's see here. Let's give you Willem Dafoe.
Oh, that's a hard one. Because he's been in Wes Anderson movies.
Because he's been in Wes Anderson movies before.
He was great in that Steve, whatever it was called, the aquatic life thing. I'm going to say yes.
He is, yes.
Oh, wow. All right.
All right. Margot Robbie.
No.
Oh, you're good. Yeah. No, Margot Robbie.
I'm not looking at the cast here.
I know. I'm impressed. Really, so far, I've been really impressed. Yeah. Liev Schreiber.
I'll say yes on that.
Yes.
Okay. Woo. Getting lucky here. Okay.
James McAvoy.
No.
Yeah. No, James McAvoy. All right. Really? I think we're good. Yes. You're.
I don't know why. Some of those names just sound.
I'm even not trying to go like a yes and then a no. I'm trying to mix it up a little bit and do some yeses and some nos and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed that. That was a fun impromptu game.
Back to Sweden. We never got to the story. The whole thing.
We actually
was
never got to Sweden.
Yeah. Here's the Sweden story. They have a hotel, an entire hotel. Oh, this is why it reminded me of this, because of the Wes Anderson hotel movie.
Right. The Budapest, Grand Budapest.
And now I got all off the thing. All right, here it is. Sweden has a hotel for sourdough starters. Yeah, that's right, pandemic lovers. Line up. Getting a new sourdough starter is a ton of work. Everyone knows how that works. Well, now Sweden sourdough hotels will care for travelers' bread dough while they go traveling. This is real, by the way. It's almost like childcare or something.
It is. Sourdough. Babysit your sourdough. I hear you can check out any time you like, but you can never loaf.
You can never loaf. Ever loaf. Ever.
There's a joke in there somewhere. I don't know where it is.
It's hard.
Tangled up in my cord.
But what else rhymes with leave? Sleeve.
Leaven.
Leaven.
You can never need.
Need.
You can check out anytime you like, but you can never need.
You can never need. That's good. Oh, there's a place around here called Needers, and I love their sandwiches. But
yeah, we got
carbs.
Those here. That one here, too.
I want to eat them.
Good breakfast stuff.
Yeah, and their bread's amazing, but I'm trying to cut back on bread. So I probably shouldn't eat there.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So they got this hotel. Mm-hmm. And if you're not a professional baker, it doesn't matter. They'll take whatever you got. Here's a quote. The thing with sourdough is that you can't leave it alone if you decide to travel, says Charlotta Soor, the owner of Stockholm Bakery RC Chocolat. She told this to Camilla Catalina Fernandez for Vice Munchies. Vice Munchies. She opened a 24/7 sourdough hotel at one of her storefronts in Stockholm, in the Arlanda airport. Arlanda. There you go.
Arlanda. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Stockholm. Okay.
So basically, you just have a place you can leave it. And then when you come flying back, you go check the dough back out. And they'll have taken care of
and
it.
They'll have fed it daily. Yep. And which is funny. If you put it in the fridge, it can go like a week before you have to feed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I guess if you want it tangier, if you want your bread tangier, you want to have it out on the counter and feed it daily.
Do you still? I mean, has anybody around you like come over with bread anymore? Like we used to have people.
No,
like,
crazy. Yeah. I mean, for a while I was doing the bread, doing the sourdough. Although we were having okay luck with the bread. We were having way better luck with the remains or whatever you call that when you transfer part of it. The starter to a new glass, add water and flour, and the remainder, we were making some great biscuits and cinnamon rolls and things like that. We were doing great with those. Not so great with the bread. Crazy Neighbor was doing bread for a while, and he was mastering it. Like, he was putting chunks of fruit in there or fennel seeds, making rye, sourdough with rye in it. And I don't think he's doing it anymore. I think he finally just gave up. Mm. Too much bread.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of carbs, and a lot of, you know, it's probably not healthy to eat so much bread.
Yeah. Sourdough is better than, you know, wheat or flour-based business, but it's still, you don't want to, you know, you just can't overdo it. Too much bread, man.
So nobody doing bread in our house or in our neighborhood.
Taylor was doing bread like crazy, and now she doesn't do it anymore. And it bums me out because hers was amazing. It was so good. But then also I'm like, well, it's good. I'm not eating bread. It's good.
Yeah, exactly. That is there's the good and bad sides to it.
That's right. Like all things in life, including this show where we take a break and play a song. That's a good thing in life. And then when that's over, we'll come back and have Jury here, which is another good thing in life. Actually, it's all good things in life here on the show. So,
all
Brian,
good things in life. What do you think Jury's going to say when he comes in and sees that Seinfeld image that we have in the chat?
He's going to think that we're porn.
What were you guys looking at in the chat?
Yeah, he's going to wonder. He's going to ask.
Hello, friends.
It makes me slightly wanting to delete it, but I'm leaving it up. We're leaving it up.
No, we got to leave it up. Yeah, absolutely.
We're leaving it up. We'll see what
his reaction is. If Nicole was coming in, we probably would take that out of there. But.
Yeah, but she is not, and so we are not. All right. Brian, tell us about this
song.
All
right, we're going to London.
Oh, we are
going to London for a band called The Shining Tongues.
London Town. London.
What's that?
I said I like London Town.
Okay. They have a debut album coming out called Milk of God.
Gross.
Well, whatever. This album comes out. Do we have a date on this? October 15th. So the end of this week, you'll be able to get this whole thing, courtesy of Actual Size Music. This is the first single from the album. It's called Is It Fear? Here are the Shining Tongues.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? You know, it's fall. It's fall. Do you feel it? We could all use a stiff breeze. This episode's brought to you by Blue Chew. Guys, listen, confidence can take you pretty far in life. It can help you in the bedroom as well, especially when it comes to stepping up to the plate. Well, that's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. And you can take them anytime, day or night.
so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever the opportunity arises. This process is pretty simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. No doctor visits. No sitting around in that office waiting for anybody. No awkward conversations. And no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew tablets are made right here in the USA and prepared and shipped directly to your door as well in a very discreet package. So, first impressions are important. What about lasting impressions? That's right. Blue Chew can help you in, the ways you need it to help you. So, if you could benefit from that, a little bit of extra confidence when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code TMS, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information as well. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring today's episode.
Who'd believe it? Saved from spider creatures by giant snails.
Use your old tailgate to play cornhole.
Listen very carefully, for I shall only say this once.
This is the Morning Stream.
We're back, everybody. That was very nice. Tell me about that song one more time.
Yeah, that song is The Shining Tongues, coming out from their brand new album, Milk of God, which comes out this week. And that's a song called Is It Fear?
Nice. All right. Should we let Justin in?
Yes.
I think we should.
Let him in. Let him in.
I think it's an okay idea. And I got to play this.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
It's Justin Robert Young joining us from... Ooh, look at his cool background. Justin, look at this. Whoa,
wow.
Fancy.
Are you outside in front of the city of Austin?
Yeah.
No. I finally just took down the curtain so you guys could see the view from the...
Oh, I see.
What a beautiful window.
Long time coming, yeah.
Yeah,
it's like
gorgeous.
You're on one of those moon towers or something.
That's where I live. I live on...
You live on a moon tower?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, a lot of people, they think maybe impossible. Only moons can live on these towers. Not so. Humans.
Not true. Well, all right then.
Celestial beings.
Yeah. Take that. Justin Robert Young joins us, as he does every Tuesday, to talk about stuff. And it turns out, kind of a bland week in politics, so we're not really going to go there. But instead... I don't know why this feels close to home, because I guess now, technically, if Utah's going to have an NFL team, we kind of have to glom on to whoever's around us. And sometimes it was we were big into San Francisco for a while because of, Steve Young. Yeah, Steve Young, right. And we were real big into Denver every time Denver did anything cool back in the day. But these days, it's all about the Raiders, because now they're only 5 hours away and they're in Vegas. They basically feel like a team that we can, sort of... have and back and whatever. Been some controversy, Justin, surrounding that.
Yeah.
And apparently you know what's going on with it more than I do, but this is all around John Gruden, current, or I guess now former, head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. As of last night, he's resigned. But what's the hullabaloo about? What's going on with this?
So, effectively, there's a couple layers to it. Number one, there is an investigation, an ongoing investigation into another team, the Washington then Redskins, now football team, not because of the controversy over their name, but controversies over how much they had a pervasive culture of sexual harassment. So, like, the general primer on that is you had cheerleaders that were not being paid a lot of money, that were flown down to shoot calendars and then told that it was mandatory that they had to go basically be escorts in the sense that they needed to hang out with sponsors. I don't know if sex was encouraged, but that was some of the reporting coming out of there. Because of that, the Washington football team turned over a ton of emails to see what was happening to the league.
Okay.
The league, at some point a few months ago, kind of put a lot of this sort of under the rug, although not far enough, as now it initially over the weekend became an issue with John Gruden, with him making a divisive racial statement about the head of the NFL Players Association, DeMora Smith, saying that he had lips like Michelin tires. That drew a fairly lame a lame excuse from Gruden, saying that he uses the term rubber lips as somebody that lies a lot, not the racial overtones to the idea that saying that a black professional has the lips like Michelin tires, which I think, you know, fell on deaf ears. And then the mother load came out, and that was last night. The New York Times reporting that not only was he making divisive statements about Michael Sam, the gay player who was drafted by the then St. Louis Rams, also critical of female referees, using very inflammatory language for which he could not say anything, you know, pretend was anything other than that. And with that, John Gruden, who had signed one of the most lucrative coaching contracts we have ever seen in the NFL. This was, I believe, a 9 or 10 year deal to get him out of the Monday Night Football booth, which is where he was, to become another head coach, a process that seemed like it was actually headed in the right direction at the beginning of this season when the Raiders were one of the best teams in the league. They, as this controversy breaks, last week they lose a game to a team that they probably should beat, and now their head coach, who is supposed to be there for the next 7 years, is gone because of these unearthed emails that were sent roughly 10 years ago.
So quick personal connection to this. Dylan, my son-in-law, and his dad did a day trip to Vegas specifically to see that Bears game. So it was just this last weekend. And so they got up at like 5 a.m. or took a 5 a.m. flight, got to Vegas. There's nowhere to stay, so they can't do an overnighter because the hotels are gone when they play, when games are in town. So they had to fly down, do the game, and then fly back, which they did. But they were so excited to go because they thought, our first time since they've been in Vegas, we've got vaccination cards, which they require there. So we're good. We can go. So they're stoked about all of this, and they love the Raiders. They're just enormous fans. They have been their whole lives. And they thought, well, this is a no-brainer because it's the Bears, and they suck this year, and there's no way that we're going to lose this game. So we're going to go there. We're going to see this win. It's going to be a win, win, win all day long for everybody involved. And instead, the Bears beat them, and they were you know, that was less than awesome for your first time seeing them since they've been in Vegas.
Right.
But his comment to me right before the resignation happened was, because they were over last night, was they got to get rid of Gruden. And I said, oh, for all this stuff? And he goes, well, that stuff's bad, but also he's a terrible coach, and we're going to keep losing if they don't get rid of him. So they have like fundamental coach problems with the guy. And as someone who doesn't get that into the weeds on the fandom, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the argument that you would have made last season.
Yeah.
This season they were actually pretty good. Yeah. They were among they were playing, you know, one of the best teams in the league is in their division, and they played them really tough. So there was an argument to be made that maybe they had turned the corner. Maybe this was something that they were going to do. They were also said to be in on some other big quarterbacks that might be moving around. So. Prior, I think the consensus from, I mean, obviously local fandom is local fandom and everybody has their own opinions, but the consensus of NFL thought was that prior to this, maybe John Gruden still does know how to coach in the NFL because, you know, he has not had a stellar track record, although he is very well respected amongst the owners. But I think there are kind of two elements to this. Number one, the football side of it. And number two, the fact that these are private emails that were sent 10 years ago. And not to say that what was said in them is not horrendous, not to say that what was said in them isn't worthy of somebody getting fired. However, I do wonder about a future in which, you know, we have now lived in a digitally recorded world for a very long time. And when these things pop up, I just find them interesting, because I do find when people cluck and strut around about how they don't have any skeletons in their closet. I press X to doubt.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any skeletons in my closet from the last 5 years.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
No fresh skeletons.
You're safe. Yeah, you're safe. The way I look at it is, so I had, back in the day, in the ELR days, so like back in like 2004, 05, 06, I used to do a pretty horrendous Asian accent on the show all the time.
Yeah,
because people thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. It was based on my brother, who somehow in my head I'd kind of like got all my justifications in a row. Like, well, I'm related to this Korean brother of mine who has this accent, so me doing it is cool because I'm related, right? Like, that was my excuse. It wasn't quite as weird as rubber lips, but you know, that's how I justified it. Recently, heard an old episode where I did that voice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a cringe fest, man. It's real rough to hear that stuff. And so in a certain context, let's say I was, I don't know, I'm done with podcasting. I'm running for Congress. Mm-hmm. Those come up. Those would come up.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Yeah. But those are things that we're broadcasting.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. It was public in the first place.
If John Gruden was doing a podcast and that was out there, I mean, that's like what got the Jeopardy guy. The Jeopardy producer who was going to be the replacement
Mike Williams. For Alex
Trebek. Everything wound up
for Richards, Mike Richards.
Yeah, beginning to fall apart for him when an old podcast, was surfaced. And so things similar to that came up. But ultimately, I think there were other stuff that kind of were the ends of his career.
Yeah.
That I even draw another line beyond private emails, private communication. Mm. Like, I'm not saying, again, once everything's out in the open, then we're all going to judge it as if you said it publicly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
We're all going to judge you like that.
Yeah.
That being said, how many of us have comported ourselves exactly in private the way that we do in public?
Well, I'm sure that number is very low.
I mean, do you?
For the most part, I am who I am. So it's almost bad for me because I maybe put too much out there. It's kind of bad for me, but I don't. I'm pretty much no different. If the people
you don't think that you've ever said things privately that you would not say publicly.
Oh no, I see what you're saying. Yeah, 100%. Like we were talking to the kids about this the other day.
But never with paper documentation.
Yeah. I have definitely said something.
Like, look, he didn't know it was paper documentation, yeah. Right?
Right.
That's the thing is, number one, you know that operation was run by jocks because nobody looked to bleach bit those servers before they turned them over to the NFL.
Yeah. Most anything I have ever said that I feel like would embarrass me is mostly dumb or I don't know. The idea that your email communications, yes, private, but are just riddled with like racial epithets or sexist language or whatever, I don't have that. And anyone that would like to go search through my shit can go look if they want. I don't have any of that stuff. So my point is like, I don't know if that's the line. Maybe it is the line. Like a private email that says, boy, there's nothing I like more than putting a corn cob up my butthole. Like if that's the thing you said. That's embarrassing if it gets out. Nobody wants to hear about your butthole corn thing. But it's not the same as you going, that black guy, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference there.
Oh,
so.
No. Again, racial statements are racial statements. I think that the larger conversation that should happen with John Gruden is how much he was among the norm in the management world of the NFL. Much of which is still in place in the ownership class that is still in place.
Yeah.
It surprised me not at all that this is how those guys talk privately.
Yeah, same.
Like,
I mean,
that is something that does not surprise me. Now, is it enough to lose his job? Obviously so. We are in a different world now than we were then. But when I talk about the idea of the privacy thing, I don't mean necessarily that you said the thing, quote unquote, right? Yeah. Like that you said a thing that was objectionable. Because when these kind of private things are made public, we don't have the the ability to put them in any kind of context beyond the one that we've just revealed this secret thing. So any kind of unkind thing that you might have said about somebody that was going through something in their lives or anything like that, which I think we all do. I know I have. Uh-huh. I know I have been mad in situations that were far more contextual than if you were to just lay it bare in front of the entire world, and you would be kind of left saying, well, but you got to understand at the moment mm-hmm. that I was mad about my, my, my. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm, you know, I would be, I think, I don't know. I would say that I've said for a long time that all of Western society would crumble if all of the iMessages that have ever been sent just popped up on the Pirate Bay in a searchable database.
Oh, right. Yes, I saw this on Twitter yesterday. I didn't know the context that you were saying at the time, but now this makes sense that you were basically, it was basically commentary on this John Gruden thing. And I agree. Like, we also, humanity has, feels like lately, anyway, in a public way, we have zero capacity for forgiveness, and it kind of drives me mm-hmm. nuts. I think we got to figure out a way to be better about that. But I also get why.
We are more justice-minded.
We are more justice-minded. We're more like quick justice-minded and not take your time and suss it out and get the nuance and all that. And it's kind of a bummer. But isn't part of this possible that the leadership in the NFL is more, or even just in that team, is more like, well, yeah, this is systematic and it already was, and this is just old emails, you know, proving that one person talks like this, but it's probably everywhere and whatever. But moreover, this is just bad morale right now for the team, and we are going to keep losing. We gotta pull ourselves out of this. A lot of stuff's at stake here. That's enough reason to fire a coach. I've seen them fire coaches just because they had a winning season all year and didn't get to the big show, and then all right, new coach next year. Like,
well, I mean,
you know what I mean. I don't know if it could be
punting on the season.
Yeah.
So, like, you are basically saying we don't care about winning this season. We care more about getting out from under this gigantic contract with John Gruden because it is a very long contract. If we now have an out for conduct unbecoming to the team, which is a part of most contracts, then either you can exercise that right now or you cannot. Yeah. Right. And it was a resignation by John Gruden. So maybe they figured out some quick money understanding for him to walk out the door. But I think this is about the fact that the NFL is in a different, all the sports societies in a far different place where you can't just say like, yeah, you know, boys will be boys. And how much did he mean it? Oh, who knows? This is just what happens. It's the NFL jocks. Like, this is actual locker room banter between two old jocks who are doing jock things.
Yeah.
That society has changed. And I think that this is reflective of it, that, that this isn't something where the Raiders are coming out and saying, absolutely, this has to be, you know, a line in the sand has to be drawn, because what two men who are joking around in an email sans context, like, should not be held against them. But they didn't. They got him the hell out of there.
Yeah, which is the money that's at stake here is.
But that's why you get him out there now, because in the contract, if he has demonstrated conduct unbecoming of the team, which is interesting, it'd be an interesting legal question to say, like, is a email revealed 10 years after you sent it before you worked for the team conduct unbecoming of the team?
Yeah.
I would assume that that is at play, and that's why you got to get him out of here now, or else if you don't, you would have, you know, less standing to be like, all right, he's got to go later.
This is a lot. This isn't that much different, by the way, than all this Activision Blizzard stuff. It's kind of the same thing. We're entering a new maturation phase for the games industry. We're also in a very different place societally, like you said, and we're also dealing with a systemic thing that is not just limited to Activision Blizzard. And there's a lot of nuance there too about, you know, why people like me took it harder than maybe others, because, you know, we had a really, it would be like if somebody would thought John Gruden was just Jesus, you know, in every way, and then finding this out, and it's just shatters your, you know, your impression of somebody. But I feel like there's just a lot of this going around right now. And it's very easy for, we also live in a time where everybody has their own freaking, you know, foghorn, and they can fire it up anytime they want. And they can pretty safely do that without anyone knowing what shitty thing they said in their email 10 years ago. And so they feel safe in being as judgmental as possible. I think two things can be true. Yeah, like
we just got out of another coach controversy in the NFL where the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars went viral on a Saturday night after his team played a Thursday night game, wherein he's the ex-head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. He goes back to Columbus, Ohio,
yeah.
Goes to a bar or a restaurant that has his name on it. Yeah. It's called like the Urban Meyer Chop House. He is Urban Meyer. Gets lit at the bar and is on tape or on social media with having some random lady grind on his piece while they're just getting lit together. And he got into a gigantic controversy about that might have cost him his job, because he might have lost, the locker room. Although, unlike John Gruden, there's been no optimism with his team. His team has sucked and continues to suck then, now, forever. But we're in a different world, and I do think that for industries like Blizzard, industries like the NFL, where you have not had a whole lot of any kind of recourse for people that think maybe some of this behavior is toxic and gross, and maybe these industries have lulled themselves into a false sense of security, believing that, well, nobody's complaining, so that's why this is cool,
yeah.
Are learning very quickly that both for their fan base, the press, and people inside their organization, that the tyranny of the majority there is something that needs to be corrected for.
Yeah. Quick Utah connection here. Hold on a sec.
Utah connection.
Urban Meyer, after two seasons at Bowling Green, he took the job at Utah in 2003. Coached for the Utes. Let's see, he was there for the Western Mountain Conference. Coach of the Year, 10-2 record. He did really well here.
Then went to Florida, where he had a big legendary career, including bringing through Aaron Hernandez, who was, I think, at that point, murdering people.
Yeah.
Left because he wanted to focus more time on his family, which eventually meant that he went to Ohio State, and then left in a bit of a cloud of controversy there, and now has gone to Jacksonville, where, just mildly possibly cheating on his wife is probably a fun distraction.
I haven't heard a phrase like grinding on his piece in a long time. Yeah. Right. That is a salty phrase. I like it. All right. Well, maybe some of you learned a little something today. We don't usually talk about football, certainly not in this context, but stuff going on out there. And
I think that there's a lot to kind of break it out on. And I don't want the element of retribution to a stale industry to be overtaken by the questions that I have, where I don't really even have a moral stance on whether or not the revelation of these old things are good or bad. I think that it's just like looking at the weather and having an opinion on if rain is good or bad, whether or not you believe that it is up or down, it's going to come. And I think that we are, the wolves will come for us all.
Yeah.
We will all find some element of our lives that will be revisited, small or large,
sure.
Coming forward.
My epitaph on my gravestone will say, here lies Scott Johnson. He did Ding Pong. That'll be it.
That'll be it.
Yeah. That'll be the heat I get in my afterlife.
It is interesting. It's like, for celebrities, you often think like, all right, well, what's like the first line of their obituary?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where do our sins rank among our achievements?
Sure.
In our legacy.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thought now, as you pointed out, where we are not in a time of nuance. We are in a time of justice, which I think for many folks, that's long overdue.
Yeah, I agree. We just gotta, sometimes we just gotta think and dial it back a little, folks. Two things can be true. Gruden maybe is a douchebag. I don't know, maybe he is. Other thing could be true is we don't have all the info and we don't have to be so, ready to kill everybody as a result. I don't know. Like, I don't know. We just all have a voice now. What are we supposed to do? We're all on Facebook. We get to say what we want. Welcome to the future, everyone. The wisdom of crowds. The most bullshit thing I ever learned. All right. Hey, yeah. Justin, plenty going on around your world, and now you got this cool view of the city there. What's stuff people should be looking for this week?
Politics. This week, we're going to talk about something that is fascinating. Many of your listeners might have actually been affected by it, and I might be affected by it tomorrow when I try to get on a Southwest flight to go from here to Florida. But there has been a tremendous amount of Southwest cancellations and a lot of rumors around why it happened. In fact, some centering around the idea that people might have been calling out pilots and flight crew because it was a protest against the vaccine mandates.
Oh,
I actually have what I like to refer to as informed scuttlebutt. It's not real reporting. It's informed scuttlebutt, wherein I think we can take down the heat on a little bit of some of the rhetoric, but I will confirm that there is something vaccine related to why these things got canceled and might get canceled again in a mass wave in a few days. So
is your
go ahead and listen to that. And an interview with Molly Wood about her brand new podcast, which is great. How We Survive.
So, oh yeah. I hear that's awesome. I need to check that out. Been meaning to since I heard about it on DTNS. Awesome. Well, good luck with all of that. And may your favorite NFL team be squeaky clean. Bye now. All right. Oh shit.
The jury will now retire.
Yeah, I got it. Totally forgot to play it. All right. Well, that was great. Little NFL talk. Man, I wish we had our own team. I always wish that. I wish Utah could just get a team. We got the Jazz. Can we have another ZZ name for a football team?
The Grizz.
We have that in hockey. We got the Grizzlies.
Yeah, you got the Grizzlies. Yeah.
We have the Bees.
The Pizzazz, the Utah Pizzazz.
Wait, not the Bees. What's the... That would be the shittiest name for a football team, the Pizzazz.
Pizzazz.
I would hate it.
The Jizz. The Jizz.
Yeah, the Jizz.
The lure for real. The Utah Jizz.
The Utah Jizz. Wonderful. The Utah Fuzzy Wuzzy. Yeah, that's a great idea as well. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. Big thanks to everybody for being here and supporting us at patreon.com/TMS. Those who do support us, you're awesome. And I'm sending you new artwork today for the month. So look forward to that. And if that sounds interesting, go check it out. Read up on how you could benefit from a membership at patreon.com/TMS. Okay. Yeah. I think we're done. We're not totally done until you play a song, though. So maybe you should do that, I guess.
Oh, so I could take my time and noodle around and just extend things as long as I want. All right. Albert says, dear Scott and Brian, I'd like to request Enter Sandman by Alicia Cara and The Warning. I don't have a specific day in mind for the request, so fit in when you can. It's on the new Metallica Blacklist album in conjunction with the 30th anniversary of Metallica's Black Album. Blah, blah, blah. I've been a big fan of The Warning since you played their song 21 Century Blood for Innie in the Middle on in May 2017, TMS episode 1264. If you enjoy their version of Enter Sandman, you should check out the rest of their music. It's all on YouTube, Apple Music, and Spotify.
Nice.
I hope once you hear their music, you will say, I can definitely see why you like it.
Ooh. I should play that since he brought it up.
I can definitely see why you like it.
There it is.
Cool. Thanks, Albert from Maryland, Mayor McCheese, when he's in the chat room.
Nice.
Well, Mayor, who am I to argue with this? So, yeah, this amazing cover album came out last month. Metallica and a bunch of different artists got together and did new versions of each of the songs from the Black Album, Metallica's Black Album. Lots of them. Like five versions of Nothing Else Matters or 18 versions of Enter Sandman and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This is Alicia Cara and The Warning with their cover of Enter Sandman.
Perfect. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a Wednesday edition of the show. Be good until then. Bye. Say you
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Come.